Well, are you getting abducted?
I hope not. I don't have really the sphincter to be getting probed. Salutations. This is the Outer Drive Podcast tonight with John and with Fletcher. How you doing tonight, Fletcher?
Feels like I got a pimple on my forehead, so that's really how I'm doing. I got a unicorn horn and I'm really not pleased about it.
Nice.
No, not nice. I'm gonna have to pop this bad boy. I can't walk out in public looking like this. I look like a freak.
Put some makeup on it.
No, you can't. No, no, I can't. I sweat too hard for makeup.
Isn't that what it's designed for? I'm no expert on makeup.
I'm not either. We're the two wrong people to be asking about makeup. We're two guys who don't use makeup very often.
Very often or ever. When's the last time I wore makeup? Never. I've never.
Like, the one time I wore makeup was accidentally, because I thought it was, like, chocolate powder, and I dipped my finger and put it to my mouth. Only time I wore makeup was internally, on my tongue. And that's, like, that's it. That is it. I was a stupid kid, okay? I was a dumb kid. I'll admit that. I'm still, like, a dumb adult, but I was a really dumb kid.
All right, so you had something you wanted to talk about that I was actually very interested in, and it was, like, the differences between FIFA and PES.
I understand people are like, yeah, FIFA's best, whatever, PES sucks. And to a degree, they're right. Because FIFA has all the money through EA Sports, they can afford to pay for all these leagues, use all the teams' names. PES can't do that. Heck, the English League is just known as English League. And maybe, like, all except for two teams, Manchester United at one point, and currently Arsenal, use their actual names. Chelsea's London FC. Manchester City's Manchester Blue. Tottenham is like South London FC. Except, like, they can't use actual names because they'll get sued. They don't have the licensing for it. They can use the player names because they only use the first initial and then the rest of their name. I'll say this about it. I've learned so much from PES about players from before. For example, they had a little thing on one of their mobile games. Little play where you score 200 goals. And you get the player A. Enright. And I was like, oh, A. Enright. Who is that guy? And it turns out, A. Enright is Paul Scholes. Like, I knew a bit about Paul Scholes. But they created a character exactly in his name. They don't have the rights to use Paul Scholes' name. So instead they create a different character, different name. Looks a little bit like him, not much. But you get to learn how they used to play, exact tendencies, etc. And I appreciate that. Heck, I just got one player, I forgot his name. It was JJ Okocha. That was like a few years ago. I had no idea who JJ Okocha was. I looked at some highlights, I'm like, this dude was sick. Like, how did I not see a player like this? I just got another player, M. Ferrando, and I was like, who is this guy? It's Valderrama. Dope. I'm happy with this. Like, they had to change all the names of characters. Like, S. Calavanti. Want to take a stab at who that is?
What position?
Forward. He's a world player, not a European player.
I was going to say Inzaghi. I don't know who.
Ronaldo.
Oh, jeez.
He's a world player. He's a world player, not a European player. But, like, Inzaghi's name, T. Monleon.
That's funny, because, like, there's certain, you know, like, NBA Live and all those games that were, like, dope back in the 90s and moving forward. But they never had Michael Jordan on there. He would never allow for his, like, the licensing for his name to be used in the games.
That's why people flocked at NBA 2K the year that he, like, was okay with it, because basically they had, I don't know if you ever played that version of 2K, where they had, like, seven different versions of, like, you to play for him. Where it's like, you want to get Michael Jordan, his rookie year, where he was dunking everybody? Cool. You want to get Michael Jordan, the veteran, when he was just a cold-blooded mid-range shooter / mid-range push-off artist? You want to get his middle years where he started shooting a three-pointer for no reason. You want to get, you know, his years after he retired and came back. No, you can't get the years where he started wearing those awful jeans. That's his entire career.
This from the get-go, yeah.
But no, I really appreciate the fact that they take these players who you've watched so much highlight of, so much film, and they actually let you see exactly how they play. They see the play styles they have. Like Roberto Carlos. I knew Roberto Carlos was a great attacking left back. And I was like, yo, why don't try him in the midfield? You do that in the game, and it doesn't work. Because in real life, he's a terrific fullback. He's a terrible midfielder. The reason why he's great as a fullback is because you don't expect him to be coming running at you. As a midfielder, you totally expect it, and you prepare for it. Teams prepare for that. And like, I appreciate the fact that it's like really stuck to true. Although I will say in their mobile game, players can like evolve. So right now, my current team has like my backup forward who comes off the bench at halftime is Lucina Traore. 6'8", Ivorian giant. And he's like morphed into like this reliable backup player who leads the league in goals despite only playing 45 minutes a game. And like, it's like, some of it is, of course, a video game. Like, players get better, players get worse, etc. But it's the fact that you can pair them with the old and the new and still, you know, go through with it. Now, graphically, for a phone game, it's pretty good. For the actual, like, console, it's really meh. And the dynamics are kind of screwy. Where FIFA has all the money to afford that, like I said earlier, and theirs can be creepy and, like, sometimes really, really weird, but still, like, aesthetically pleasing when they're not, you know, like, humping each other on the ground accidentally.
Enough of the video games, man. We got a really cool interview coming up here.
We do. It's an interview that we've been targeting for a little bit. We have not been able to actually get it totally ironed out until recently, and it's perfect because they have some news for you guys as well. So it's great, great stuff.
Yeah! Interview. All right, first up this evening, we have a special guest. You've seen us talking about it for the past few days. We're really excited to have the co-owners of Minneapolis City Soccer Club with us, Dan Hudeman and John Bisworm. How are you guys doing?
Great, thank you.
Yeah, doing well, thanks for having us on.
Finally. Oh,
it's a pleasure, it's an absolute pleasure.
Finally.
Now, we wanted to bring you on because you had an announcement you wanted to make, somewhat breaking news, and we wanted to let you guys get your story out. So,
if we had a special breaking news like noise, this would be like the time where we'd play it, like the big, you know, radio TV thing, like like that thing. Yeah, just imagine that as you're listening to this. It's important.
Made one of those like auga.
I can't make that noise.
But yeah, so we're pretty excited. We're going to be making the move to the NPSL. We're going to be in the North Conference, and we played last year in the PLA in the West Division, and that was great. But pretty excited to move to a national league, and pretty fun to be in the Midwest region. A lot of powerhouse clubs there, so it should be a good challenge for us and for our players, and it should be a really good challenge for us on Twitter because, you know, NPSL Twitter game is a lot stronger than the PLA one. That's obviously what we care about the most.
I mean, yeah, that's how you win, you know. That's how you win those big, you know, wrestling belts that people carry around. You got to win on Twitter. Otherwise, anything else doesn't really matter.
It'd be uncivilized.
Absolutely. We actually did. There was a guy on Twitter who tweeted last season, and he actually correlated wins with how much you tweeted until we had our late season swoon. It was 100% true. The quality of your Twitter feed correlated with how well you did. Then we lost traction and finished third, so that kind of went out the window. But I think it's the exception that proves the rule.
Sometimes you get that, you know, that Twitter stamina deficiency. You know, you got to hit your second wind. You know, so it's first season jitters, first season social media jitters.
I like to just blame it on the fact that TweetDeck froze for a good portion of the summer, and we had to then do it manually. So all the gold that we come up with in chunks, we just had to kind of do it manually and spread it out.
I mean, I'd like to think what that person tweeted you is true about how well you tweet and how often you tweet goes with your play, but I've been playing terrible and I don't stop. I just just plow right through it. You know, like Reggie Miller said, you keep shooting till you make it, then you catch fire. I just gotta keep tweeting till I start playing better, and then, you know, I'll be good again. Otherwise, you know, it's just gonna suck.
Keep gifting till you make it.
Keep foolproof to me.
Now, just a quick, I want to ask you guys a quick history of the club, because, you know, last year, you guys kind of broke out onto the scene in the PLA, and I just want to know how the idea of the club came about, how you decided on the name of the club, you know, just, you know, Cliff Notes version, if you like, or flesh out the parts that you feel need to be fleshed out.
Sure. So John and I have known each other since the 80s, and we met playing soccer, and, you know, we moved around a little bit kind of since then, and kind of being at an ad agency in Minneapolis in 2010, and I was playing on a team at the time. John was a great player. And so I was trying to get him on the team, and he met the guys. He's like, "Oh, this is stupid. We should just start our own team." And if you talk to my parents, you'll know that there's one thing that John is good at, is convincing me to do things I don't think are a good idea at first. And so he convinced me to start this men's league club, Stegman's, with him. And you know, over the years with that, and you know, we found some good success. And then as Minnesota United were going MLS, it felt like it really opened up a gap in Minnesota. We started with it from a player's perspective. The Minnesota Thunder had started as really a Minnesota all-star team, and from 99 to 2001, arguably they were the best team in the country, and they're all Minnesotans. Benny Lagos and Tony Sana, Amos McGee, and, you know, you could go on and on. And so there were a lot of great memories for that, and from a player perspective, an opportunity for that. So he and John and I were talking, probably over some beers, and
definitely over beers.
Definitely over beers. This could be a thing that we could do. So we're just sort of thinking about it, and then we pretty regularly would play kind of a friendly series with Milwaukee Bavarians, which is John's old club. His family's been there for generations, and so, you know, we were just talking to them about scheduling a friendly, and they said, "Hey, we're thinking about joining this league, the PLA. Are you interested?" And yeah, then over some beers, we're like, "Oh, yeah, let's go!" And that's how it started.
Oh, right.
The amount of thought we put into it.
That's like the most earnest and like honest answer I've ever heard to something started. Like, yeah, just beers, and we just soccer, and we're gonna do it. That's like the best. If they made a movie, it'd probably only be like 12 minutes long, but still, it'd be like the best 12 minutes and most honest 12 minutes ever. And like, I can appreciate a movie like that.
Well, the interesting thing that I'll kind of sprinkle on top of that is, you know, we're both in our we're getting closer to the dark side of the 30s. And we sat back one training session after we were done, and we were thinking, like, you know, wouldn't it be great if one day we could just sit back and drink beers and watch other people play soccer that we have a connection with, and just relive the glory days and tell all the younger guys how much better we were than they are right now. And you know, it kind of came to fruition this past summer, which was great.
That's really cool. That's really, really cool. Now, my next question: which mascot of yours is your favorite?
Oh, that's a tough question. There's actually a little-known third mascot, the Eradicators, that came up and bubbled up for a while on Twitter early on. Didn't catch on, disappointingly, but I don't know if you ever watched the show Kids in the Hall, but they had a skit about the Eradicator, who's a guy who wore a mask and was playing squash.
Oh my gosh. This is, like, taking me back to, like, middle school, thinking about New Kids in the Hall.
Right?
So yeah, this is all over my head.
And then you wore a pink shirt, and we wore pink. It felt like it made sense, but for whatever reason, didn't catch on.
I was gonna say Bernie Brewer is my favorite mascot, but I didn't know what context we were talking about.
Oh, Bernie Brewer is cool. Don't get me wrong, but I think you guys got him beat.
Yeah, I think personally, I'm a big fan of the Crow, because we have a kind of an intro that's kind of spliced, and we play Hell's Bells when our team walks out. And I do our club's podcast with a good friend of ours that we worked with in advertising. And for one game, he spliced in a bunch of crows just squawking and just blasting through this like rickety old stadium in South Minneapolis, and just confusing the heck out of everyone within like probably 10 miles of like, why is Hell's Bells blasting with a bunch of crows going crazy? So I think that kind of solidified it for me that the crow was kind of our thing.
So is that going to be like a home game thing now? Because I'm just picturing like walking onto a field and not playing, and I don't want to be on that field very much longer. Like that's yeah, it for me. I'm good.
I think it is. You know, if there's a couple ways to slice that. One, if you look good, you're going to play good. Maybe not for the whole game, but for a portion of that game, you're like, man, I look good, and I'm just on fire right now.
That's my motto.
But if you can intimidate someone before you even kick the ball, that's also beneficial. So absolutely, Hell's Bells definitely stays.
I mean, you got to do what you can. But I mean, I can remember our first game at home, clear as day. So we took advantage of everyone expecting us to be ramshackle. So we let the opposing team, this is Croatian Eagles out of Milwaukee, we let them go out first. They're just kind of hanging out by the bench. And then our team didn't walk out with them. And all of a sudden, you know, the bells start to go, and their players sort of look up like, oh, what's going on? And it was loud, and it was sort of like a stormy day. And then all of a sudden, our guys walk out, and right when like the guitar goes, and you're kind of like, this is kind of badass. I got a little bit of chills. And it was pretty funny when we went to go play them away. When we walked out of the changing room at their stadium, they played it as well. And of course, we kind of laughed at it, but there is something to be said for those bells, man. Chills. Absolute chills.
And it's AC/DC. You can't go wrong.
No. No way.
You got any questions, Fletcher? I don't want to sit here and hog.
Oh, no. So I have a question that's not related to soccer at all. You guys seem like relatively pretty smart people. I was sitting here talking to my girlfriend just about, like, space and spacesuits. So, you know, you're floating through space. Any sort of rip in your spacesuit would cause your body to, like, freeze and, like, break upon impact, or you'd suffocate, etc., etc. And they have a pack on the back that kind of facilitates the air in there, so you still have a capable breathing capacity. So, basically, are you just huffing farts in the air, like, out in outer space? Is that what you guys think? What's your opinion on that?
I can definitely take this one. I feel like it's like you're flying on a return leg from like an all-inclusive vacation, where clearly everyone on the plane has been eating the same food and drinking the same booze in excess for a week. So yes, absolutely, it's just like one recycled fart. It's going through a filter, but it's being recycled, and you're definitely huffing it in.
It's basically like huffing purified Jenkins, what I'm hearing.
Yep. Sounds about right.
I can't even touch this.
Yeah, I have nothing to add.
The first Jenkum reference of the show, and I nailed it. Yes.
You didn't warn me about that one either.
No, I did
like,
not.
I was like, I got a question. I'm going to wait till we get out of here. Like, okay.
John would be like, no, not that one. Not that question, please. So I had to sneak it in there real quick.
So I wanted to get to a couple of our Twitter questions because, you know, once everyone knew that we were going to have Minneapolis City on the pod, they're like, oh, shoot, we actually got to hear this one. And people responded with some questions that they wanted to ask you guys. From at RiseAM _, he wanted to know what the funniest piece of hate you received in the first year of the club was.
So I'll grab this one, although John knows this story pretty well. And we've had a lot of people who really did not like us. It's just the internet's a wild place. But so we thought we would kind of troll Milwaukee Torn a little bit because they're talking a big game about being pro, but they're just taking guys from like Croatian Eagles, so sort of a weird type of pro. So I started trolling a little bit, and they got pretty upset about it. You could tell we were kind of getting under their skin. So we thought this was great because if there's one thing people in Minneapolis don't like, it's things from Milwaukee. Then, you know, we do the whole support our own thing, and our members get a vote, and like they're actual literal things you get. And then they posted something about a novelty share. So they're going to be completely owned, but you can get a piece of paper that says novelty shareholder. So we thought that was pretty ridiculous. and we said so, and then they came at us like on Twitter really hard about how we're disrespectful, we didn't understand what we're talking about. And then I got a call from their owner, who said kind of the same things and told me how terrible I was. And so I had to call John and be like, dude, you wouldn't believe what happened to me. This is the best thing in the world. But before we could retaliate, they blocked us, and they kept us blocked for an entire year. So, yeah, we got an attorney sicked on us for libel, I guess.
Jesus Christ.
That's so, like, a lot of... Really?
It was fantastic. And I bet what's going to happen now, he'll listen to this, and then we'll get blocked again, and I'll get a bunch of text messages about how that was private and how I'm such a dickbag and how my team's terrible. So I'm looking forward to it.
You trolled someone into the courtroom. That's like Hall of Fame level trolling. You trolled someone into a courtroom where they're like, hey, it's akin to like you like picking on a kid, messing with him. He's like, teacher, help me. Help me now. They're making fun of my shoelaces and now I'm mad. Like, man.
And then a cop shows up. Yeah, that's...
Right, but it was like novelty shares, and we said novelty shares are stupid. And he's like, libel. I'm like, no. Like, novelty shares are still stupid.
That's not how libel works.
Right. You should have him call our attorney. Now, our attorney's my brother. And I did call my brother. I was like, hey, John, I just want you to know, you may get a call from a guy about this, like, libel thing. And my brother's like, oh, my God, what did you do? I'm like, no. Seriously, I don't think that this is a real thing, but I may still need you.
It's not real. it's not real. Let's go to question two from Twitter. At MDLaw_, what's all the underscores tonight? What was the best TIFO of 2016?
John, what do you think?
Yeah, I can dive into this one. In the U.S. Open Cup, when we were playing Oakland County, of course, when putting the stadium logistics together, because we ended up playing up in Blaine where Minnesota United had their home games. So, gorgeous facility, one of the best in the state. And we may or may not have strategically put our supporters group immediately behind the opposing bench. I don't want to take credit for that, but it did happen. And there was just a enormous pink grumpy cat that just said nope underneath it. And there's a picture going around somewhere. I believe it's through our supporters group and their Twitter channel of the captain of Oakland County after the game with him next to the sign that just said nope. With a pink grumpy cat, after we had beaten them 2-1 in overtime and knocked them out of the Open Cup.
I like that. And I have to mea culpa here. When I was sending out a tweet to like get our questions for tonight, I used the term angry cats and not grumpy cats, and I'm officially an old man when I can't get my names correct. So I owe you guys a public apology for that one.
Yes, you do. I mean, because you
I'm
did
pretty
that-
sure that he's angry too. So
you did that
I'll
on your own accord, without consulting me. So yes, John, you apologize while I stand here with my arms folded in the corner like, yeah.
I'm not going down with that.
Like, anything else happens, I'm going down with the ship with you. This one, I got a life preserver. No.
Man, that's so harsh. Next question. How challenging is it, also from RiseAM_, how challenging has it been to set a roster with the current open division roster rules in the U.S. Open Cup?
So before John takes this, John's been acting kind of as a sporting director. I will say that U.S. soccer has no interest in an amateur team, particularly one coming up from the open divisions, in being competitive. There could not be a deck stacked more against those teams than there is against those teams. It's just ridiculous. Anyway, with that lead-in, John, go ahead, answer.
What was the question again?
Let me get someone to say this properly, because Sean...
I just want to make sure I answer it properly.
Soccer head, and I want to get this correct for you. All right. How challenging has it been to set a roster with the current open division roster rules in the USOC?
I think the main difficulty for us was the fact that our inaugural season was kind of like... 70-30 with players in college. So clearly we didn't have that ability to I mean, if I were a kid in college, I wouldn't be foregoing my scholarship to play with Minneapolis City in an Open Cup qualifier. So we had to go to the next level and supplement our roster with players that were either graduating out from the area or that were maybe former pros or semi-pros that play with other teams in the summer. So it wasn't as difficult as it would have seemed because the community here is very much so like everyone kind of knows each other. So our roster, regardless of whether it was guys that played from summer that were carrying over or these other guys we supplemented with, they had played together at one point either in college or against each other in development academy or even in the summer where we were pulling some guys from the Minnesota United reserves team. So everyone kind of knew each other. So in actuality, it wasn't as hard as it could have been for someone that wasn't in our situation.
Although I'd say that, you know, the rules that they have, so say we move on, right? And so,
well, now it's a different story.
May. So we've had the same roster from September to May, and all we can make is five changes. And we're amateurs, so what happens if someone moves for a job, which is probably going to happen to us, someone gets hurt, you know, next thing you know, five changes, and then you got to plan a date, someone's got a business trip or, you know, what have you, and, like, that's it, and all the other teams coming in get to set their rosters fresh, and the pro teams don't have that restriction. Yeah, John's right, we're pretty lucky, and maybe it's a little bit with how we are as a club and how Minnesota is, but it was fine for the qualifying, like the early qualifying rounds, but now that we might play in March, April, May, that's a long time to have a 25-person roster with only five changes.
Yeah, that does sound like a stacked deck.
Yeah, no, that's why typically, like, you guys, Harpos, Southie FC, I'm always rooting for the smaller club because a lot of these bigger clubs, they have other teams to pull players from. They have larger rosters where it's like, all right, we have 30 odd people, we can send in these people, or if someone's hurt, it's okay, we have this, we have people who are trained to be doing this. The smaller team is like, hey, our leading goal scorer, yeah, he's also like a firefighter, our sweeper, it's also a the deli, whatever. Point being, what happens if, like, he breaks his hand in his job? Okay, we're down a defenseman that we can't replace. What happens if, you know, this or this? They actually have, like, real-life situations to account for that are very hard to work around. And to see them advance forward, it's great. And that's why what happened last year with La Machina against LA Galaxy, like, really broke my heart. Like, I don't know if you guys are familiar with what happened.
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar.
No, it really broke my heart, like, so much, because I'm like, these people go back to their daily jobs after this, after being screwed on, like, closed-circuit television, but on television, where everyone's like, yeah, that's not right. And these other people who might have lost, oh, well, that sucks. You go back to being a professional player. Like, your life still continues on somewhat of an upward level where everyone else just kind of goes back to normal. So I want to see every smaller club advance as far as they can. It'd be my dream, probably not to happen, to have, like, at least, I don't know, a quarter final, like, of the eight teams, like maybe like three or four of them from, like, a lower division. Like, I would love that so much, but I don't, like, they really just want it to be an MLS team to win, or at worst, I don't know, an NASL, USL team. They don't want a non-professional team to win because then it looks bad on their entire professional standard again. So,
yeah, I doubt they'd want an NASL club at this point either. But
I mean, they're like four left,
it's a
right?
Discussion for a different day.
All right, so I have another question for you guys. We touched on it briefly. How would you say your first U.S. Open Cup experience has gone so far? You guys have played one game. You guys played a familiar opponent. How would you, I guess, even though it's a team you played against, would you say it felt a bit different?
Would you like me to take this one, Dan, or do you want to dive in?
Yeah, no, go for it.
So I think overall, it was awesome. I would not trade it for anything that we've kind of gone through. In, you know, even if we would have had, like, some league success in year one, which we, you know, we finished third, which it wasn't a bad thing within the division we were in. But the how amped these guys were to win a game in a U.S. Open Cup, albeit even a qualifier, in the atmosphere that we had, it was awesome. As far as the opponent we played, you know, them being in the Eastern Conference of our league at the time, you know, to be completely honest, we felt a little bit disrespected because, you know, they didn't show up on time. They didn't bring equipment to warm up properly. We had to lend them some things to warm up properly. Being very Minnesota nice, we did. And we kind of use that as fuel to say, you know, like, this is our game and we're not letting that happen to us. We're taking these 3 points. We're going to the next stage of the tournament. The thing that sucks about it is we were primed up. We had trained for 2.5 months, twice a week, played multiple friendlies. We were ready to go, and we were primed to do that tournament run to be able to then continue our success. And then we kind of hit the skids. And, you know, we talked a little bit earlier before about how we're kind of like that little guy pushing the big boulder up the hill where the largest guy is kicking a rock. And that's the only downside of what happened to us in the Open Cup. But we're just ready to go wherever the U.S. Open Cup sends us, and we're going to ball out and have a great time doing it.
And I just add, too, it's been kind of fun. You know, we had a conversation with Des Moines Menace a couple weeks ago because we were trying to arrange friendly with them. And, you know, and what a great great club they are. Good that's, people. And
that's a quality, you know, side right there.
They knocked out Minnesota United just a couple years ago. And so, as we're trying to schedule it, you know, their general manager said, well, look, we can't schedule too early because we might see you on May 10th. And I wasn't, I guess I didn't have my head in the game. I was like, what's May 10th? So it's the first round. If you guys win out, you're going to play us. And all of a sudden, it was kind of, it hit me as real where, mm-hmm. like, this stuff really mattered. Like, Des Moines knew who we were, and Minnesota United gave us congrats for moving on. And there's never been an amateur team that's out of Minnesota that's made the first round proper, the Open Cup. So we've been getting a lot of support, but also even from our opponents recognizing it, it was pretty cool. And I know I had to sit on the sidelines the whole time. I couldn't really do anything. And that game where we're hitting the post and goals were called back and we were just sort of camped in their area just for 45 minutes, it felt like one of those games where we're just going to take a shit on them. They're going to beat us, like, with just some dopey ball over the top. And God, that was one of the worst 90 minutes ever, and then extra time was even worse. And when we scored, I think I lost all emotions for the rest of the week. It was great. I loved it.
I broke my sunglasses when we scored because I was squeezing them so hard.
Well, I mean, that's what soccer's supposed to be. That's so cool to hear.
But yeah, it was awesome. And like I said, we don't care where we go, who we play. We're just gonna roll up with properly equipped, because we know how that looks, and we're just gonna just throw 90 minutes at some guy and punch him in the face and see what they do after that happens.
Although I will say this, tongue in cheek, you're familiar with the Chappelle Show, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you show up there with no equipment and use their stuff. It's kind of like laying on their couch with your boots and just kind of, you know.
That's awesome. That's actually one of the things we said. So our first game ever, we played away at Bavarians, and our coach didn't want us to wear pink aways. And I'm like, no, 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 this is going to be so cool. And we told the guys, we're like, look, you're in this, you know, this club's been around since 1929, and this is a big deal for them. And we're going to roll up in pink shirts, and we're going to beat them at their place. And they're going to be thinking, the fuck, we lost to a team in pink shirts? And I think that was actually possibly the best ever team talk I've given. So
I'd be inspired. I'd be ready to go.
Right? Everyone's like, yeah.
Let's do this.
And we eked out a draw in pink shirts, so we took at least 1 point with us.
Man, this is a really cool interview. I'm really glad you guys have agreed to this. This is like Fletcher said earlier, you guys are really candid about, like, just your joy of soccer. And that's always nice to hear. Like, you, whatever comes to sports and, like, you know, you get to ownership, higher level, like, front office type, you know, situations, people want to be nice and staid and, you know, toe the party line, not really rock the boat. You guys are just coming through kicking boats, and I appreciate it.
It's raw emotion. It's like what sports are about, like John said. It's supposed to be, like, raw emotion. And it's not like you guys are coming in here like, we're going to eat people's faces. We're, like, no, but it's like you guys are coming in here like, this is exactly how we felt. There's no, like, fixing it to where it looks like, oh, this is still a nice picture. It's like, hey, what that guy just said, I resonates with me because I felt a similar way in one situation. Like when you said, when you guys scored that goal to go ahead, this summer when we scored a goal for our DCFL team for the Bar League, I scored a goal to give us a lead after like blowing two breakaways. And only thing I could do to celebrate was just a somersault, like into like a patch of dirt. Didn't even care it was there. Just somersaulted right into it. New Jersey looked like I slid into third base. Did not care. I was like, whatever, I'm good. And then when I subbed out, I was like, I really probably shouldn't have done that because now I got to wash my hair and this is really gross. But at the time, raw emotion. And, like, I can appreciate people who come from that perspective, like, to the nth degree.
I had a conversation today with another soccer publication out west, and, you know, they asked me kind of a question about, what do you have to say to other people who are at your level or just in soccer in U.S. in general? And I said, just own who you are. Don't pretend, because once you pretend, you give everyone the transparency to make the decision whether or not you're full of shit or not, and then you're going to lose the followers and the friends you thought you had because you're trying to be popular. Like, we know full well that we might not be for everyone, but we're going to own who we are, and we're going to continue to do that and take it as long as far as we possibly can. And at the end of the day, it's all about playing soccer. It's like soccer should be fun. Why make it some sort of like weird thing where people aren't talking to their family at the dinner table on Thanksgiving? Let's just all get along and play some good soccer.
Righteous. Well, thank you guys. Once again, we have John Bizworm and Dan Hudeman from Minneapolis City SC. Go ahead and plug your pod. You might as well. You're on here.
Our podcast is called The People's Pitch. I don't remember how that came about. You can go to our website, mplscitysc.com, and you can download any of the shows. I do it with a good friend of ours. It's 100% as real as this interview's been. So if you enjoyed that, please check us out. And no one ever emails us with any questions that they want to know. So hopefully the listeners that were the thousands of listeners that we're going to get piggybacked off of this interview, we'll be able to get some people who are interested in creating a conversation with us. But I know Dan will definitely say and echo what I'm about to say. But thank you so much for having us. Like, anytime we can meet like-minded individuals and just talk about soccer and have a good time doing it, it's awesome for us.
Yeah, what John said, and I'm looking forward to us being part of NPSL Midwest means, though of course we hope to host, if we're ever in your neck of the woods, we're gonna have to do this in person.
I'm
totally with that. Cool.
We'll make one edit. I don't know how you're gonna get 1,000 people piggybacking. We only have like 9 listeners, but like however you want to figure that out, like, go with it. Like, hey, you want to cut people in like little parts and replicate them, hey, I'm all for that. Just send them back when you're done with them.
We're just teaching a man to fish. That's all we're doing right now.
Okay. That got really deep to end this, man.
Well, thanks guys, once again.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks.
So that was fun. Like we said earlier, we really were excited to have Dan and John on. They're great people. Their team is a great team. We wish them the best going forward. And hopefully, if they're ever in the area, we'll get to link up and, wave awkwardly at each other and talk about soccer.
Like, I met you online. Yeah, we had a conversation before. But let's try to not be too strange as we, have a human interaction.
So we're going to take a quick break, sort out some things, lead into our last topic, which should be pretty interesting.
considering it's something that we both agree has happened to almost anyone who's ever played a sport.
Your girls can finally get live. I'ma need you to turn the lights down. Whatever gonna happen right now. Do whatever you want, 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 want. Whatever you want, 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 want. Baby, let me get the number to your BlackBerry curve, so I can buy you everything that you deserve. I ain't got a front, mama, that's my word. With that kind of ass, I might spaz like nerd about whatever you want, 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 want. Whatever you want, want, want. The same as your glass in the air. Good luck with pack, don't have to come with the whack pair. Y'all really don't want it, and we're making that clear. So do whatever you want. Gotta put your hands in the air. Wave me around like a bitch don't care. Whatever you want. Keep your hands up high. And if you want your girl, I'm gonna sing it. Now when everybody way too aggressive, I'ma be the one too cool to even stress. Even though I bought dresses, breasts, Benzes, Lexus, yeah, you get the message. Whatever you want, 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 whatever you want.
Music for you as an interlude. Our final topic today is a weird one. Came across Twitter a couple of Saturdays ago. Okay, sorry, a couple of Sundays ago, more accurately. It was Preston North End. They're two strikers, one by the name of Ian Doyle, hopefully I'm pronouncing his name correctly, and Jermaine Beckford. It was a tight match. It was getting down to the end. They were chasing a tie, trying to get a point back. Doyle goes to slide a pass in the attacking third. Doesn't pass it to his strike partner, Jermaine Beckford. Passes it to a separate player, a midfielder, who skies the shot over the bar. Beckford wanted to come to blows with his teammate over not receiving the ball at that critical juncture of the game.
Very reasonable.
I mean, I don't know, is it?
I mean, not... Long story short, they both got reds. They both got reds for it because they did it on a field. But I've had moments in soccer, in football, in basketball, in kickball where just people have done selfish or
bonehead things, and I'd be like, yo, I'm gonna blow your stuff out right now. Like, this is happening right now. Perfect example, Outdoor had a breakaway opportunity where we had 3-on-1. Basically 3-on-2, including the goalie. And our guy sent me and another person down the wings and then skied a shot. We looked at him like, what's wrong with you? Are you serious? Why would you do something like that when you have someone open? I don't even care if it's me getting the ball, but someone literally is standing open with no one on them. And you choose to take the hardest option possible and make a bad play.
But if, like here's the thing to me. Like, if you play on a team sport, we've all been there. We've all wanted to, like, yell at somebody. We have yelled at people. We've all wanted to be like, dude, you messed up, you know? But I've never wanted to throw hands at a teammate.
Well,
you
see,
know, not unless, no, like my brother has actually punched a kid out before, but that kid was bullying him for like a month straight, and then caught the left hook and took a black eye. But it's never like I've never been on the field playing any sport or on the court, whatever, and been like, man, you missed me on an open jumper. I need to steal on you right now. That doesn't make sense.
I don't mean on like one transgression. Like, I don't know the entire backstory between the two. It might have been something boiling over for a while that just happened. Like, it's not like you missed me for one pass and I'm like, all right, I got to kick your face off now. But like, there was one game in particular. We had a girl winger, great winger for our league. Totally badass, great winger. And for the first maybe 20 minutes of the half, she'd either throw really long through balls when I'm calling for the ball short, or if I was open, she'd take a long shot. So finally, I got a ball from her, turned and just kicked it from wherever I was. She ran a little give and go, and I was like, no, you're not getting the ball back. And for a while, in the middle of the field, as the goal is about to kick off the ball, we're staring there, staring at each other like, what's your problem? Do you want to say something about it? At halftime, we pulled each other aside. We had a little heated discussion about, look, I don't know what your issue is. I don't know what this is, but you got to chill out. You got to stop doing this, because it's making me look at you as opposed to looking at the game. She did the same exact thing to me. Second half, we got together, got a few goals going for the rest of the team. We shook it off. We still were kind of tense till the day ended, but okay. It wasn't like one moment, all right, I got to break you now. Your spine is now broken. So I don't know what happened there. I do know that they both got sent off, and it was kind of a funny picture to look at, because you got the other team pulling apart two players. That's kind of funny in my opinion. But like,
the best part about it, those two clowns got sent off while they were a man up,
and they ended up being a man down,
and they ended up losing the match because, as their coach called it, it was an embarrassing joke disgrace.
I mean, situational awareness has to kick in too. Like, if I'm about to throw down the teammate, let me at least wait till the game's over. If we're up on an opponent and the game's about to end, cool. But if it's like we're chasing a point, I can wait like 3 minutes. I can wait three minutes before I freak out on you. That's totally fine. Like, let me get to a situation where it's okay. So,
like, I can wait till the cameras aren't around. I can wait till I'm not going to get suspended for this. You know what I mean? Like, say if it happens in the locker room, right? They might each get just fined, but not get, you know, suspended for any games. They're going to miss 3 matches for straight reds.
Well, I mean, them's the rules. Should've just let them fight it. Should've just let them fight at that point.
But, like, I was thinking, how often does this sort of thing happen, like, on the pitch? Like, you've heard about fights, like, during practice. That happens, you know what I mean? Like,
yes, Lockdown was kicking people. So, yeah, that happens.
Yeah, I mean, professional sports, like, say, you know, like, it oftentimes will happen in football, where, like, practice, you know, it's training camp and practice is tough. These cats are, you know, going at each other. They haven't had a chance to play against any, you know, opposing players, any other teams, so they take it out on their teammates. And occasionally it comes to fisticuffs.
Well, usually in football and training camp, it's usually between some guy who has a spot and some guy who wants a spot. So one guy's trying a bit harder than the other one. And as a result, the guy who's not trying as hard takes exception to it. Sometimes it's between two star players, you don't really have much contact with each other. But usually, it's between, like, one star player, one rostered guaranteed player, and, like, one guy who's like, I need this to, you know, make ends meet. And they come to blows. They get heated. As a result, they're, like, about to throw down. I understand that.
Like, at the end of it, they're cool with each other. Usually the guy who's had fisticuffs doesn't usually make the roster, but if he does, they're cool with it. They squash it, it's fine. But I understand, like, that. That's passion. That's, like, legit, I need to feed my family. If I get cut from here, I don't know what I'm going to do. I might have to go back to working wherever I was working before. I really need this. And, hey, I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying I totally can understand why you might be a bit more charged there than, you know, say, walking through a field and watching someone skyball and wanting to punch him in the face.
I'm saying, well, I mean, the one big exception to, you know, I can understand a player fighting for his roster spot and, you know, feeling some kind of way about someone half-assing it. But Geno Smith got his block knocked off, and that was totally his choice.
Well, yeah, don't be a cheap teammate.
And understandable. IK should have put them hands on him. But I was looking up a couple of different situations where this had happened before. It was like, you know, why would you fight somebody on the field? Who fights their own teammates on the field? Baseball players be steady scrapping in dugouts. Or, you know, Matt Garza one time, like, got into it with his catcher on the mound, like, mid-inning. You know, like, see, that's insane to me.
See, I love Tigers baseball because I like the players. I like the actual personalities. Miguel Cabrera is one of my favorite athletes, period. But baseball as a sport is, like, stupid. Every sport has their own, like, unwritten rules, and baseball has, like, 70,000 of them. Where it's like, hey, you show up to play, you hit a home run, you better not smile. You hit a home run, you better not chuck it. You better not, you know, bat flip. You strike someone out, you better not fist pump. You also know what's going to happen? We're going to throw a 90-mile-per-hour ball at your head. What? Like, no. It's a sport.
That's assault.
It's a sport for fun. You're supposed to have fun. So a lot of these things that happen between, like, players on the team, it's like, oh, you hit a ground ball. Hey, I play softball. If I hit a ground ball and it's for an out, it doesn't really matter. You're damn right I'm not going to run full speed down the line unless I'm actually have a chance of being safe. If I hit it to the first baseman and he's a step off first, I'm going to jog down first base till he tags the base, and I'm going to walk off the baseline. I'm not about to sprain my neck running down there for him to just step on it and let me look like an asshole. No, excuse you. And most fights of those happen because people are like, oh, you're not taking it seriously, not respecting the game. We're down by like 30 runs and you choose to loaf out a run. Come over here, young whatever, and it's like, all right, fight. Yes, I'm going to fight you. With a pitcher and catcher, like, those relationships are, like, weird. Like, a pitcher and catcher relationship is kind of like a goalie and, like, his number one center back relationship, where it's like, yo, I'm calling out something to tell you where to go. You need to listen to me to go or know where to go. I'm telling you your best interest. And sometimes the center back captain shakes him off. Kind of like how sometimes the catcher will call a pitch. Pitcher will be like, nah, I don't want that one. I don't want that one. I want this one. I'm throwing this one. And sometimes the catcher's like, look, man, it's not working. The pitcher's like, I don't care. I want what I want. Fights break out. It's just kind of like
how... That's a really excellent analogy because I've gotten into many heated discussions with goalkeepers while playing center back, and it's just like, dude, I see what I'm seeing. They're like, well, no, I'm going to act like I'm holding a joystick and I'm playing Xbox right now to direct the defense.
Yeah,
and it's like,
yeah,
so let's play soccer.
Sometimes he's like, I want four in the wall. You're like, no, man, I'm not going up there. Get in the wall. I don't want to go into the wall. I'm going to go mark this guy. Someone scores. Where were you? It's like, all right, dude, yell at me like that again. We're going to have problems. Like, you need to watch your tone. It's going to have problems. And I mean, like, it happens in sports. People get heated at one another and sometimes they come to blows. I'm not excusing it in most instances. Like you said, Geno Smith, very warranted. And if anyone were to do the same thing, I hope it happens to them too. But I mean, and also, whether it be a guy sport or a woman's sport, it's a lot of testosterone being shot out onto the field, no matter whether it's a guy or girl playing. There's a lot of people sweating and trying their hardest who possibly might be annoyed about other things in life and want to just, you know, you guys catch the brunt of this.
All right, so I think that's an episode.
Yeah, no, we started out, you know, pretty cheery and chippy, and we went from that to, like, a really morbid ending, but that's it. We ran out of gas for episode 34.
Follow us on Twitter, at The Outer Drive. Follow us, or add us on your SoundCloud and or iTunes, at The Outer Drive Podcast.
He's Fletcher at SaintFDW.
Don't follow me on Twitter. It's not worth it. Trust me. I'll just unfollow you a month later. Follow the TOD podcast at The Outer Drive and listen to some great stuff. And we'll stay connected through there. But please don't follow me on Twitter. You'll lose respect for me. And I don't need that.
You can follow me at MI Footballer. I'm a good follow. I think I'm a pretty dope follow. Also, check out Midfield Press, midfieldpress.com. All of your lower league soccer coverage. NASL for the time being.
All four teams remaining.
Real dope. One more time.
All four teams remaining in the NASL, yes. Midfield Press will supply you with all four left, including the Puerto Rico Islanders, which I don't know what's going to happen to them. But hey, you know, something.
Something eventually. They'll probably join the NPSL.
No.
And what else?
That's it.
We out here.
That's it.
We out here. We out here.
Stay safe in the snow, people. Seriously.
Yeah, it's wintertime. You Michiganders, remember that last year it was winter as well. Slow down when you're driving in the snow, please.